Hello. Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Cast podcast. This is Mike speaking. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be the only one here. John and Nathan couldn't make it because of, I say family stuff. I don't really believe it. It probably has to do with their fantasy business that they have going. They mentioned something about developing an app where you can buy shares of different fantasies, like a bunch of people can buy shares of one single fantasy or something like that. It sounded kind of shady, but anyways, I'm going to be the one hosting the show today. Normally how this goes is there would be three of us, me, Nathan, and John, and we would start it off by chit-chatting a little bit, shooting the shit, just talking about ourselves, trying to get ourselves familiar with the audience, so that they know what's going on with us, they can relate to us and project who they think we are onto it, to just feed a parasocial relationship where they believe that we are friends. And I don't even know why I'm saying that. I think I am a friend to anyone who listens to this, that listens, takes the time out of their busy workday to listen to me talk. I want to say thank you. I am your friend. You can call me at our phone number, which I don't have in front of me. Email me, anything, anytime. I mean, what are friends for? And so we would talk about what's going on in our lives a little bit. We'd talk about our different fantasy ventures, the culture of fantasy at large. Who's telling good fantasies? Who's telling bad fantasies? You know what I mean? Are fantasies a threat? Are fantasies vital to society? And then we would get into our own fantasies that we have for the week. Those are usually a little bit longer. The production's a little bit heavier. There's sound effects. It sounds like an Eminem song. And then we'll probably wrap it up. Usually wrap it up and just run the clock out until we reach about an hour. So it's just me today. So I'm going to be basically documenting my fantasies throughout the day as they come and go, while I'm working on my body, my living space, and working on my mind throughout the day while my daughter is at daycare and my wife is working. So let's take it away.
Welcome to the Fantasy Cast podcast, where three grown men pass the time by sharing their deepest, darkest fantasies. Here we go.
Hello, welcome. So, just so you know, you can always email us at fantcastpod@gmail.com. That's fantcastpod @gmail.com. And you can always call us and leave a message at 312-767-7943. That's 312-767-7943. Remember to give us a call at 312-767-7943. It will lead you to a voicemail box. Just leave a message. Tell us of any fantasies, fantasy news, fantasy inquiries, questions, comments, inquiries, stuff about fantasies, anything you'd like to know. Just call and leave your message. It can be anonymous. You don't need to worry about us sharing your personal fantasies, whether violent, sexual, terrifying, or whatever, miscellaneous. No big deal. Do not worry about it. Okay, first things first. Woke up today coughing all night long. A mysterious cough. Doesn't make any sense. Every time around a certain time at night, my throat just starts itching. It feels like it's on fire and stuff like that. And I just cough and I cough and I cough. So I have to sleep somewhere else, away from my wife, away from the person that protects me at night, away from the person that gives me everything, away from the person that sacrificed everything for me and I would do likewise. I have to do that. I have to sleep away from them in another room because my throat's all fucked up. And then I wake up, and surprise, surprise, there's only two eggs. I mean, I can't even make a fucking omelet, so I make an egg sandwich. I put mayonnaise all over it, so now I'm all tired and greasy, okay? So that's where I'm at, to let you know my mindset right now, okay? And now I gotta record this fucking podcast, which is embarrassing to say that I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm doing it. it just was a fun idea at the time. I wanted to collaborate with Nathan and John on something, and we just decided to do this. And now I'm one of these people that does this amongst millions and millions of other fucking three idiots get together and fucking think they're funny or some shit. And then they start recording their podcast or whatever, and like five of their friends listen to it. Well, that's where we're at now, and I guess we're just going to power through until I can like think of something else to do, or like I finally get a real fucking job and I have to do something else full time, which is what I should probably be doing right now, is like looking for a job on Indeed.com or whatever. Okay. Okay, here's a fantasy I've been thinking about. You're in college and you have a professor who is beautiful and you can tell they're hiding from themselves. They have glasses, obviously, because they're a college professor. They wear all black. They seem to not have any social skills whatsoever. When they make a joke, it always comes off as weird. You don't know. They look around the room with a robotic smile after they tell the joke, eyes twitching left and right, trying to assess if the classroom found it humorous or not. One day, they come in to class late because there's environmental protesters on the highway or something topical like that. I guess it would be like pro-Hamas protesters on the highway or something like that. Something topical. I don't know. I've been reading the news lately. I've been trying to only look at it once at nighttime because it just puts you in a bad mood. You forget that it's not good for you. It's not human to be looking at the news 24 hours a day. That's just not something we should be doing. So they come in late and they're pissed off. They slam the door. They are fed up. Okay. And they start yelling at everyone in the classroom. I come in 45 minutes late, as I always do to all my classes in college. Never give an excuse. Never email. Except when I'm provoked. And then after that, I give the longest emails you've ever seen in your life of the most bizarre, insane stories and situations of why I was late, why I was absent. That's the kind of student I am. Once you put your foot down, you made the biggest mistake of your life, because now you're going to be receiving emails from me nonstop about why I'm not showing up, why I'm late. I'll send you an email. It'll be like a picture of like a close-up picture of like what looks like a broken windshield. There's smudges on the lens, so you can't really, it kind of looks like a windshield. And then that's the first thing on the email. Okay, it doesn't even say hello. It says hello after that picture. Then after that picture, it's about 3 pages worth of rambling. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm afraid my friend is suicidal. So I tried to go over to them to do a wellness check, and then it was raining. And I climbed up the fire escape, and then I fell down the fire escape. And then out of nowhere, a car pulled up, and it rammed right into my car, drove away. So I got into my car and chased after them and wound up at the hospital where they were having a baby delivered. And so I was so upset by this, I couldn't sleep all night. And here's a picture of a broken windshield that I thought you would appreciate that I saw when I woke up in my car on my way to work. Because you discussed something interesting about broken glass in a lecture, in one of the few classes I showed up in. Like one class out of like a month, you mentioned broken glass and my ears picked up because I'm really into that aesthetic or something like that. Anyway, so I send these sort of insane emails, but I show up to class this day, 45 minutes late, with a latte, half drunk, and from Dunkin' Donuts. And the teacher just sees me strolling and just loses it on me. Starts yelling at me, you know, you never come into class. Your work is not what it used to be. You think you're so cool coming in late. You can come in anytime you go. Well, let me tell you something. In the real world, you're going to be toast. You know, you think you're at your bad attitudes. Do you think anyone cares? You think anyone cares? And she's right up in my face, and I have sunglasses on and I'm just sipping this thing. And I say, you know what? I don't need this. And she's like, you don't need this? Then get the fuck out of my class. ass, screaming into my face like that. There's spit all over my face. My feet are up and I'm wearing Converse and the socks are long and they're folded over the top of the high top Converse. And I take my straw and I make that squeaky noise with the straw and just sip some more, shaking the ice. Throw it on the floor, rolls down the aisle, and everyone in the class is like, ooh, a direct challenge to the teacher. And I'm like, I don't need your class. I don't need this bullshit. And I don't need, most of all, you. And I get up really close to her face, and I'm just a centimeter away from her face, moving my head, like from side to side, not turning, but like, the other way, where you're like trying to psych someone out, where you're like, you're like tilting your head from left to right. There we go. Tilting it from left to right. Like, what are you going to do about it, Holmes? Like that sort of vibe. She just goes in like really quick bird-like and gives me a peck on the lips. Like, poof. Really quick. And we're both startled. This really broke through the tension of the whole situation. And I get really pissed off. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck this class for real. I stand up and I lift my hands up. And I have somewhat of an erection. And I'm like, all y'all stupid as hell up in here. Something like that. And no one says anything. Some people are even kind of like giggling at me. Because they know I just got treated so bad, and I just walk out of there. I go in the parking lot. I have a breakdown. I start crying and stuff, and I'm just like, what am I doing? She's right. You know what I mean? I start punching myself, hitting myself. She's right. One of my friends, Corey, comes up into the hallway and he tries to comfort me. He puts his arm around me. Okay, it turns out he had like a thing for me this whole time. I thought we were just friends, and that he tries to kiss me as well, and I like push him away, and you know, I call him a dirty word, and I run away. I wasn't in the best state of mind at this point. I mean, who amongst you is at 100%, 100% of the time of their lives, you know? 0%. That's as far as I got in that fantasy. I've come back a couple hours later. I've been thinking about it, and that's as far as we're going to go with that one. Okay, right now we're going to listen to a voicemail from our phone number, which is 312-767-7943. So there's someone called,
hey,
left a message. Let's check it out.
Watching the new Aquaman movie just dropped on HBO. Mm-hmm. Jason Momoa. Kind of liking it. It's been pretty cool fantasy. Hey, Nora. It's, He's like an underwater guy, and he's just super strong. Just thought, man, that would be cool to be like that. Instead of, it's just, you find yourself drawn to certain fantasies because you lack certain things so much, and just being strong, you know, without faults, having an interesting life, having the body you want. So I guess I'm just really, it's like watching it, you are like, wow, I get to like live as this guy for a little bit. He's so charming. He must have a life. He's married to Amber Heard. And then, you know, there's parts where you catch yourself liking it too much. And you're like, why do I like this so much? And you're like, it's because I don't have that, you know? So I don't know. I'm thinking about getting on antidepressants again. Worried about what that would do for my fantasy life. And, all right, I look forward to talking to you guys later. Bye.
So, that was a call from me. I guess I forgot I made that. That was on February 27th. Yeah, I was watching Aquaman 2. It actually turned out to be a movie that stuck with me for quite a bit. I'm not really a DC person. The DC verse or a Zack Snyder guy, but this had some fun parts. There's a part where Jason Samoa is he's on a motorcycle. It's in the beginning. It's like showing his new life with this kid that he had with Amber Heard, who they seem to have cut out a lot. I heard on set that she was acting out again, as usual, upsetting. I wish she could pull it together. She said that Jason Momoa was dressing up like Johnny Depp to upset her, which is such a weird thing to do to someone, to dress up like someone that you know someone on set doesn't like to upset them. So they cut her out of a lot of the movie. And there's a part where him and his brother are driving in an underwater car, and they go to an underwater bar. It's like they've taken outer space and turned it underwater. And I think the visuals were pretty impressive. I wish I had seen it in the theater. One part of a bar really keeps popping back into my head. You know, I think I might check it out again, but really the part I wanted to talk about was Jason Momoa was doing, I guess we'd call them donuts on a motorcycle, but they really wanted to have him on the motorcycle and not do CGI. So they must have used some weird rig, and it looks like he's going extremely slow on this motorcycle around his kid and father and spraying up dirt out of his rear tire. And it's so slow and weird, and he's such a giant guy. It's a really uncanny image. You should really check it out. So I recommend that. Aquaman 2, I think it's called Port of Universe or something less cool like that. That's just one thing that was going on. Anyways, dressing up to upset someone let's say you work with someone, okay, and their ex-boyfriend used to wear something idiosyncratic. You can't really say long scarves, grandmother glasses, a big floppy hat, layers upon layers of long silky shirts, whatever. Everyone knows how Johnny Depp dresses. Who am I to judge him? But let's say you work with someone who's just making your life a living hell. Just has it out from you from day one. You want to get back at them. You befriend their ex-boyfriend. And you're hanging out. Maybe you take like a month just to become friends with this guy. You both like axe throwing. On one of your axe throwing dates, you say, "Hey man, I really like your clothes. I would really like to buy all of your clothes from you. You don't need to wash them. Nothing like that. Just let me buy them straight up off you. Here's $3,000. That's enough to buy a whole new wardrobe three times over the way this guy dresses, like a normal person, like a normal guy. But there's got to be something. I keep thinking they're like a Sox fan or something. You know what I mean? They wear fucking Sox gear or whatever. This guy has a prized Sox clothing merchandise. And then you buy from him, and just to spite this person you work with, you just start dressing like him at work just to get under their skin. They can't really say anything about it because you're dressed like a normal guy. You're just wearing a bunch of sock stuff. You know, and it really makes them look insane. It's a gaslighting situation, I guess, is what I'm giving you as the prompt here. How do you gaslight someone you work with? Maybe unethical. Just a thought. All right, I'll get back to you guys in a couple hours. I'm going to go work in the garage. Goodbye. A lot of people have been asking me what happened to Mike Lopez Nation. Mike Lopez Nation was this fantasy co-op that I was running out of a Unitarian church basement. We had a couple things going, a couple events. We'd meet up. Everyone would go around, discuss fantasies that they were developing. We had a little bit of a falling out with one of the ministers there who sat in just to monitor, see what was going on in their basement. And let's just say there's one person in our group who is, well, we're working on them, but they seem very wrapped up in current stuff and was saying some things that weren't very Unitarian. So they kicked us out. I pleaded with the guy. Things actually got physical. And so we're looking for a new spot to hold these meetings. That's the status of Mike Lopez Nation. It's not like Nathan and John's thing where they're holding your phones, holding you hostage, basically. Nothing you say is right. Any suggestion you make is criticized. Anything you say is wrong. That's just to give them the upper hand. Even if it's glaringly obvious that what you're saying is correct, they will say you are wrong. That is to just break you down as a person. They hold your phone. They make you say stuff on tape that will later be held as collateral should you try to blow the whistle on them and the things they do. So that's just a warning and kind of a tidbit for what you can do to people to get leverage on them. Nothing they do is ever right, and so we don't do that with my thing, but we're the underdogs in this situation. We're trying to work it out. I thought it would be cool to give a little advice on how to generate fantasies. It's actually really simple. You just need to get in tune with yourself, okay? You're doing the dishes. That's where I find a lot of violent fantasies come from. You're on the train. You get an idea. Really, if you want to start, you just have to take notes. Everyone has a cell phone that they're looking at constantly because you're all addicted to social media. It's destroyed your brain. It's ruined the best people. It's ruined the best people that there are. It's made the worst people the best. And we all need to go back to a time when social media doesn't mean anything anymore. I remember those times. I'm taking steps to do that. So anyways, if you have a fantasy, something comes to mind, first you need to be able to identify, this is a fantasy. I'm fantasizing right now. This isn't a reality. This is just something my brain is just automatically making up out of lust, out of fear or anxiety. And you just jot it down. Once you jot it down, subconsciously, your brain is going to start developing it more, adding more and more to it. If it is a generative fantasy. Sometimes it's not, sometimes it's concluded. But if there's a fantasy, the key is to find a fantasy that it's not complete. You don't know where it's going. And so take a look, write it down, take a look at it, see if your brain can pump something out on the back burner for you. Okay, let's get to my top five guests. We've only had one guest so far and recording, I don't know, going on 3 years, it feels like. Maybe it's only two, don't really know. And that was Paul. Great. Sweet guy and a true fantasy person. So my top five guests that we would have. Let's go. Number five would be... What's her face from CNN? The Russiagate person. No, let's do, screw that. Let's do number five, Terry Gross, for sure. We know a little bit of her relationship with her husband. I think he's a jazz writer, so you know they're bohemian. They probably have a rich fantasy life. Maybe I'll get both of them on here, Terry Gross and her partner. I don't know if they're married. Probably not. Sound like they could be part of the Dinx situation where they are married for a long time, have millions of dollars, don't have kids. But that's their life, the Dinx, I guess, whatever. Let's see. Terry Gross and her husband would be number five. Number four, I would have said Elliot Smith. Nathan and John convinced me that Elliot Smith was alive. I thought this was a contemporary artist. I didn't actually know that they were murdered by their girlfriend because they wanted to break up or whatever. It's kind of a Kurt and Courtney redo, which actually makes me think less of Elliot Smith that he decided to go out in that way. Seems a little derivative of another 90s guy. So we're not going to say Elliot Smith and his girlfriend. Let's say number four would be, I would say Jerry Seinfeld would be a good guest because he seems to have a severe hatred of poor people and is obsessed with cars and comedy. One of my passions is stand-up comedy. And I'd just like to know what how his brain works and what his fantasies are. and see if he keeps in touch with his second cousin from Biohazard. Number three would be, it's really, you want to think about who the audience would like to hear fantasize. Maybe, who's like super stiff, not warm, closed off, not friendly, you don't know what's going on behind their cold, dead eyes. Who would be like that? Jeez, let me think. Oh, I know who. Zac Efron. I think that would be a cool guess. I'm not sure if he probably doesn't do a lot of podcasts or interviews because he probably wants to keep his private life pretty private. But it would be, if the face is a mirror of who you are on the inside, I want to know what's going on inside of Zac Efron. I think he would have some pretty cool fantasies, probably a lot of violent stuff he'd like to explore, and definitely probably some sexual stuff. I don't really know. I don't know much about him, and he just seemed like a fascinating guy. You know, he was a young actor, and then he got older, and he got, he's in this movie now where he's wrestling men and stuff like that. That sounds really cool. So he would be my number three, Zac Efron. Number two would be, I would choose number two to be Catherine Mayer, president and CEO of NPR, which just happened a couple weeks ago. This is pretty exciting news. I would love to see how they're going to turn NPR around, not to keep harping on NPR. It's just such a audio legacy that I just find it so fascinating. They're taking it over. There's obviously going to do some cleaning and get the news nice and level, get all of their people that work there on the right track, straighten it up, clean house. And I would just love to pick their brains. So, well, how do they fantasize about this happening? What's the future of NPR going to look like? And I, for one, can't wait. I always put NPR on when I'm making French toast on Sundays. That's what my family does. We take our daughter swimming, then we come home and we make French toast, put on NPR, listen to Sound Opinions, listen to Fresh Air, listen to all of it. And it's just such a thing we do. It's a part of our life. And I think if you do the same thing, you should definitely toss some money to NPR. Okay, and my number one guess, hands down, I've been dreaming about this for a long time, Jason Bateman. He's been in Hollywood for so long. You know his brain is completely fried out sexually, and he can give you a glimpse into the mind of someone that has been in Hollywood since they were a kid. Him and his sister, I believe. So that would be really cool. Actually, maybe even both of them could come on, swap some fantasies, what their deal is. Yeah, it would be cool. He definitely has a violent, angry streak in him that he is the key to his success, is him repressing all of his violence and anger. And the viewer can see that, his hatred of other people and condescending way of talking. So those would be my three people. So number one, Jason Bateman. Number two, the new CEO of NPR, Catherine Mayer. Number three was Zac Efron. Number four was, shit, I completely forgot. Who's number four? Oh, right, Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, that would be number four. And number five is Terry Gross and her husband. So that's number one would be Jason and his sister, Bateman. Number two is Catherine Mayer. Number three, Zac Efron. Number four, Jerry Seinfeld. Number five is, who did I say? Oh, yeah, Terry Gross and her husband. That's who I'd want to hear about and hear their fantasies. So let's get into my fantasy that I've been doing. It's called The Friend. The previous episode, we did The Friend Chapter 1, and this is going to be Chapter 2. So let me get this fucking guy up, and then I'll read it. Okay, in the previous chapter of The Friend, I made friends with a friend named The Friend, and he has a habit of rubbing me into his sexual situations. He can't seem to come to completion without me present. And when we left off, we'd gone to separate colleges. My phone died, and once my phone was turned back on, I receive a phone call from my friend's dad, and my friend had some sort of incident in some sort of horrible condition, and he keeps asking for me. The Friend, Part 2. I keep getting messages from my friend on the phone. My phone kept vibrating in my pocket while I was taking final exams for the fall semester, distracting me. My prof asked me if everything was okay as I handed them my exam at their desk. "Yes, I think I did okay. I'm having problems with my family, a family thing." My beautiful prof gazed at me behind her glasses, evaluating me, assessing the weight of my claim. "Well, take care of yourself this winter. Inspiring to see your work, as always." We stared at each other for a moment too long before I walked away. I walked through the halls, seeing my peers walking to their places as I listened to all of my friends' messages on my cell phone. There were dozens of them. They were all different versions of him panting. His mouth full of gauze, I imagined, and a tiny reoccurring sound of a woman's voice and panting, the beep of some hospital machinery mixed in. With the phone still in my ear, I waved at my friend Charles, who was a good-natured, pure of heart, walking with a dark-haired girl who had a pleasant smile and beautiful eyes. They were coming towards me down the hallway. I had a brief chat with Charles and was introduced to the girl, whose name was Tippy. She was Southern. I didn't pause the messages playing back to me or remove the phone from my ear while this all happened. My friend had broken his collarbone. His father was not giving me a lot of details, but I assumed it was because my phone was dead for a week or so, and so my friend couldn't blast, and this drove him completely insane. At the hospital, a tired, beautiful nurse gave me a smile as if she knew me. My friend was watching MMA on the television when I walked into his section.
"Hello,"
he said to me with a big smile on his face in the middle of eating his lunch.
"They tell me that I get to leave soon. I finally convinced them that I'm no longer a threat to myself or society."
He chuckled. We grasped each other's inner forearms, the handshake of thieves to ensure there were no hidden daggers in our shirt sleeves, an inside joke between us.
Sit, my friend told me.
I sat and watched the two men on the television mashing each other's bodies, hitting each other, blood covering both of them. A bell rung, and the round ended.
"How's the food?"
"That looks not that bad," I said. "My father brings this to me every day," he said. "Our favorite burger place. We used to go there when we would visit my mother." Not exactly happy times, but the burger place was a nice reprieve for my father and I.
"Would you like a bite?"
he asked, gesturing at me with the half-eaten burger that he held with both hands. I could tell that it was top shelf, not overworked like most burger places that strive to be more than they are. This was a burger that was made by someone who had been making it the right way for years, never varying from their initial vision and never outsourcing their labor to undocumented laborers that are indifferent to whoever envisioned their burger. I passed because I could tell that it was the kind of burger that you can't put down once you start it, because it was so robust and intimate in experience. My friend sighed. "I suppose I'll tell you what happened to me in New York." The bell rang on the television to start the next round.
"Around the time that you stopped taking my calls," he said.
"My phone service went out. I told you that," I interrupted.
"Right," he said. "Right, when your service went out. I started to feel strange. This has happened a few times in my life. I get the feeling maybe you have heard the rumors about me. Most of them are half true. although I have never gone this far over the edge before. My mother used to say that so long as I still have friends and can enjoy a good meal, I will be healthy regardless of these situations I keep finding myself in. My friend somberly took a bite out of his cheeseburger. Bright sunlight made the room look blue. I started going online and looking at the dark side of Craigslist, trying to find something, anyone, that could help me. I needed to be, my friend gulped, maybe some leftover food in his mouth. Released, he said. I couldn't sleep for days. I didn't go to class. I stayed in my dorm room, ordering food and drinking Mountain Dew and doing push-ups to stay awake and trying to call you. Friends invited me to a huge campus party. I asked them if there were private rooms to screw in, like a house or a frat house. They said no, so I passed. The party was in a big field. I had many correspondences going through online forums, and I was invited to a sex situation in a hotel. It seemed like it was made just for me. Plenty of cool people, that's what I like, and they would help me get my head straight, which I needed. In the hotel of the lobby, I met some of the people that I had had conversations with online. Online, he laughed. That cursed word. It should be called out of line because it is so foul and disgusting, simply beyond the pale. The people in the lobby brought me drinks and were hugging each other and using vibrators to stir their drinks and massage their faces, as if they were common tools that they used to perform normal tasks with all the time. I knew it was wrong, but I powered through. Maybe there would be cooler people to hang out in the room. We all went up, and on the elevator, the sex people started doing stuff to each other. Disgusting things. My body stiffened, and I just stared at myself in the reflection of the polished brass of the sliding door. I robotically walked down the hallway with the sex people and entered the hotel room. People were having sex everywhere. I hadn't showered in days, but it didn't matter. That's how rancid it smelled in there. I had a little bit of sex with someone and then moved on to another person and had a little bit of sex with them. Then I had sex with someone and something happened and a circle formed around me. They could see that I was in a desperate need of release. I closed my eyes and tried to remember better times. And for some reason, the mean face of a childhood bully kept appearing in my mind. Tony Ratterson. That name. That face. The boy who made my life a living hell in grade school. Try as I might, I couldn't get his image out of my head no matter how hard I shook it back and forth while having sexual intercourse with this stranger. Tony's face would not disappear. I opened my eyes and my female partner was deep into the realms of pleasure. The crowd, now all wearing masks, stared, unaware of the mental situation I was subject to. I felt my loins begin to pulsate, and I began looking around frantically, the woman massaging my seeds. Without thinking, I pulled out before completion and hurled myself into the crowd, lifting up their masks, looking for, my friend paused, and stared out the window for a moment. Too long a moment. I don't know what I was looking for. Looking for whom I cannot say. Some stronger sex people subdued me and held me in the shower until I stopped struggling and began sobbing. Their pets and words of comfort did little to comfort me. I knew it was time to leave. I walked home. And I heard noise in the distance. I went to it, and I stumbled upon the party that my classmates had told me about earlier on. My penis was still erect. I met my friends near the beer keg. Oh, you would love the friends I made in college. Each one is a treasure and offers something unique in his or her own way. I'm not sure what I said. Maybe it was my smell, or I missed some social cue, but they began to look at me funny. It reminded me of Tony Ratterson. The way they were looking at me. And maybe it was the effect of the light coming from the bonfire, but they seemed to have transformed into Tony Ratterson. Something came over me, and I grabbed one of my friends and tried to throw them into the fire. I was screaming something. My throat is so sore. I've never had a throat this sore before. God, what you must think of me. What was I even screaming? I don't even remember. They restrained me, and I woke up in a helicopter on my way here. Maybe I'm not cut out for college, or maybe it was that college. You know, they act different over there. All the old money, the way they talk, the things they value. Everything is about status there. My friend sighed. An MMA fighter had his hand raised by a referee on the TV. Joe Rogan began interviewing him over highlights of the fight. I couldn't tell the difference between the two fighters anymore.
I think one of them seemed Puerto Rican. My friend finished his burger and fell asleep. I sat with him for a while with the TV turned low and walked out of the room. I nearly ran into a large middle-aged man who was friends with my father, I recognized. Someone who had helped with legal stuff after my mother had passed away. He was surprised I was friends with my friend and told me that he was a client of his. He gave me the gist of the incident on the campus that matched up pretty closely with what my friend had told me. But I had only one question. What was it that my friend was screaming so hard that he lost his voice? I asked.
Well, between you and me, the lawyer said, it's actually quite odd, and no one really knows what it means, and it doesn't seem like this will ever need to be on the record, but I'll tell you because we have been through a lot together. Many of the students in attendance claim that your friend was yelling something along the lines of, just let me spray. I just want to spray, clown, clown, I just want to spray, clown. The lawyer shook his head. I can't make heads or tails of it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I sat in my car in the hospital parking lot. I saw parents getting into a car with their sore children who were eating suckers, covered in stickers. Elderly people being assisted by their middle-aged offspring. Technicians smoking. I didn't know it at the time, but I felt alone. A special type of alone. A type of aloneness that I don't think anyone I knew would ever feel. A car drove by on the way to exiting the parking lot, and it was blaring Creep by Radiohead. I turned on my car, pushed play on my CD player. The first notes of the Foo Fighters album started playing. It wasn't loud enough. I turned it louder. I wanted it to hurt. I wanted it to cleanse me. I wanted to feel cleared out in a way that only heavy music can make me feel. I released the parking brake, left the parking lot, and just drove, drove, and drove. It was the summer, and I had no place to be other than in that car, in that moment, with Dave, Pat, Tyler, and the rest of the band. This is my summer. This is going to be my summer with my friend. Don't wanna be a monkey wrench. One more indecent accident. I'd rather leave and suffer this. I'll never be your monkey wrench. Okay, so that was my next chapter of the friend with Normally, if the other people of the show were here, that we would talk about it. They'd be like, oh, I like this part, I didn't like that part, or this seemed like too pandering, or your diction needs work. You know, we could still hear your Chicago accent really bad. Maybe speaking to the mic better. They probably, they pick on me a lot. Off air, I get texts from them all the time just saying that I need to up my game, I'm not doing good enough, blah-de-blah-de-blah. So, like I said, this isn't a normal episode. It's probably going to be a little shorter once I edit it down. I guess I'll talk to you guys later. God bless you. Shout out to, let's see, the people who listen. Joe Shorgel sent me a message on Instagram several months ago. Hey, what's up? Billy. He says he claims he listens to it. I think maybe Neil listens to it. I can't tell. Maybe he does. I hope he does. Carl, I told my friend Carl about it. I told my friend Brittany about it. I don't know if she listens to it. I hope she does. I don't know. If not, I mean, I can't blame you if you don't. Who else do I know that may have listened to it? Oh, Gabrielle listens to it. She likes it. I wonder if Courtney, who I used to work with, listens to it. I think she may have. She's a kid now. Who else? I don't know. I really don't know how to promote it. I guess just tell other people about it. Or not. I mean, who gives a shit? Who else? Oh, Alex and Glazian listens to it. Congratulations, you just had a baby. Who else? I don't know. Let me think. Caitlin listens to it. I think another Caitlin might listen to it too. I'm not sure. Who else? Hope I'm not forgetting anyone. Anywho, thank you all for listening. I hope I'm not. Thank you all for listening. We'll keep it trucking along as I can. That's a loser talk. Thank you for listening. Sit tight, buckled up for more episodes. We have this one, and then I think there's one that John is still editing. And we'll keep it coming. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.